Well, good morning, everyone. I am so glad to worship with this church family. And our worship team, Pastor Zach, has put together some interesting songs for us. Do you realize what he's done with those lyrics? One song we're speaking about, the church being one because of God's Spirit, and that's a thing we celebrate regularly. And then the other one says, yes, it's not I, but Christ in us. So there's something individual going on, but something collectively that's happening. And of course, we're at this spot where we're going to look into the Word together. And I want you to follow along as best you can. Now, you make your way to Proverbs, that's fine. But keep a pen handy, as some of you will take notes, scribble something on the back of the bulletin that we've handed out there. But I'm going to just talk again about these sins that kind of work their way in. I say small town America, these sins are deadly in our relationship to Christ and His purposes for us. I don't mean physical death, it's just we cannot stay in close, intimate fellowship with Christ when these things get in the way. And full disclosure, I said last week, I noticed these sins that are on that little stretch of 11th Street between Walmart and Griffith. And I moved down there, and it's not even all my neighbors where I'm seeing it. It's in my house, and it's in me. So when we look at these things, we want to realize this isn't kind of addressing the sin of the week, so to speak, but really we want to go after some things that are important and necessary for us. So we've talked about the problem of being so busy that you don't have time for God, of being entitled to having things your way all the time. And we've talked about the comparisons when we look at each other and say, well, I don't have what that person has, or I've got more than this person does. I must be better off, and that's the wrong perspective. This week, we're going to look at gossip. We're going to talk about it. Now, I think one of the things I've got to do is just share with you out of the vast reading and research I do to prepare for these things. And I'll just cut to the chase here. Any of you heard of the TMZ? Yeah, some have. Some haven't. It's all right. I got this update from TMZ regarding Russell Wilson. I'm sure it's going to make a difference in your life today. The Broncos quarterback, whose future there in Denver seems uncertain at this point, appeared this week in the I Am Athlete podcast, where he talked about his marriage with Sierra and the fact that he plays stepdad to her kid, Future Junior, whom she shares with the rapper Future. So he is telling us in this little update that, you know, he's going to assume the same role that Joseph did with Jesus. And he's talking about that. Now, that's not the only thing we'd find there. I know you're on the edge of the seat saying, has anything come out about Taylor Swift and her dad at all? The answer is yes. New footage of Taylor Swift's dad coming face to face with paparazzi in Australia has surfaced. And while it shows more of the incident, it's hard to tell what happened. See, in the video that we have, Scott clutches his superstar's daughter's hand as she walks along, covering her torso with an umbrella. Chaos quickly ensues with Taylor's security detail attempting to create a clear path to an awaiting vehicle for the father and daughter, who had just left the yacht after arriving in port. Taylor is seen blindly crawling into the back of the vehicle as its paparazzi attempt to get that perfect shot. Now, see, the tension's building. I can feel it in the room. Yet there's more. That's where you can see Scott go around to the back of the vehicle where the other photographers are, and some kind of scuffle appears to unfold behind the door. Again, it's impossible to tell from the shot what went down, but you do see some activity back there, and Scott is in the vicinity, as are other security guards. End of statement. You don't look moved. Not really. Okay, maybe we just need to switch sources. National Enquirer. You know, inquiring minds want to know. Melody Griffith, former screen star, Melody Griffith dumped three studly hubbies. But the aging beauty now says it wasn't their fault. Like a caged wildcat, she just needed to be free. Do you know what we call this stuff, right? It's celebrity gossip. And we look at this stuff, and if you're walking into the store and you see those tabloids and you're saying, who in their right mind would waste their money on this stuff? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you walk by these things and it says, oh, there's aliens that landed at the White House. Somehow, the major news outlets miss that. And there's other forms, too. Clickbait. You know what that is? You know, you watch that, and we decry and say, man, what is all this? They give you some kind of crazy title, hoping that you'll click on it to go in. Why would we ever do that? Because there's a curiosity about it. What is this thing that, you know, we just can't live until we see what's behind the curtain in someone else's life? We're drawn to it by our human nature. What are we talking about with gossip? You want a working definition? Let me just put this one up there. Sharing unhelpful, unnecessary, or untruthful information about someone who is not present. Three little things there. Do you see it? Unhelpful, unnecessary, or untruthful. Could be and. But if it's and, it eliminates everything else. Why do I say that? The Bible has much to say about it. Here's what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Oh, yes. Why in the world would we ever engage in gossip? You see, we decry it in that public sector, but we just don't really respond too much when it hits us. I mean, unless it hits us, we kind of blow by it. But Proverbs says that it is a delicious morsel. We're engaged in this because it is so tasty. Oh, do you know what these little bites of heaven are? Oh my goodness. These things, they're good. They're better than good. Hazelnut in chocolate, this truffle thing, you bite into it and you just, oh. Now, I was tempted to give you an illustration about gossip while I'm eating one of these, but I didn't trust my ability to talk afterwards. But these things, and maybe you don't like hazelnut. Okay, just think about your favorite Lindt chocolate. You know, those truffles. They make them in a bazillion flavors. Oh, by the way, I looked at the nutrition label on these things. Do you know these two little things have more calories than one big old great donut? Oh, but do you know how much protein you got in here? None. But they taste so good. How much vitamin D? Minuscule. It doesn't show up. They don't even bother including what it doesn't have on there. They're just there. And we taste them and they say, man, that's like heaven. That's what gossip does to us. We just say, oh, man, this is sweet. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. It's a tasty thing. And guess what happened to Pastor Zach a couple weeks ago? That guy gets pulled over for speeding. And he decides fighting the ticket. He doesn't want to pay it because, and he He actually got to court and was telling the judge that it isn't fair because there were other people that were speeding. How come he gets the ticket? He didn't think it was fair. The judge didn't like that. And so he got an increased fine. And I said, hey, don't bother paying the thing. If they put you in jail, we'll start a jail ministry with you. You're laughing. And by the way, that's a complete lie. He's back there. I owe him $2 because I didn't clear this illustration with him before I used it. But the point is that goes back to a family thing that I promised my kids if they ever wound up in illustration and I didn't check with them ahead of time, I'd pay them $2. My wife says it's worth 10 now. Sorry, Pastor Zach, still $2 for you. You were with me, though, and wasn't it funny? You know, it was just kind of, why do we get drawn in like that? And I had you when I started talking about the little line, and there could have been something there, but that was a complete lie. But had it been true, it still would have been very inappropriate. Why do we talk about things that we shouldn't do? What is it about the tasty morsel that somehow just seems like we can't stop ourselves from it? It's because gossip makes us feel better. We feel self-righteous by comparison. Pastor Zach got a speeding ticket. I didn't get one. That's why I don't speed. And we can jump to conclusions there. And I've ridden with the man. He is a safe driver. So there's nothing true in that. I want to say that 3 times before everybody that listens online will understand that. The other thing gossip does isn't it just make us feel better. Like, by comparison, we've got our act together and the other person we're talking about doesn't. It helps us feel better connected to one another. See, when I'm telling somebody else's story or I'm listening to it, there is a connection that forms there. And you can inadvertently say, wow, I must be something that person would confide in me, this story. I'm valuable to that person. Or if I'm speaking it, somebody's listening to me, so I must be a person of influence in that person's story. So it's subtle, isn't it? We think we can come out higher. We think that somehow we're better connected. Or sometimes within the context of a church family, we come off sounding more spiritual. I want to share this with you with the hope that you will join me in praying about this. What happens when we engage in this enjoyable activity the Bible calls gossip? It is destructive. Don't miss it. That's what Proverbs 16:28 says. By the way, I've got various verses up here because I know I'll tire you out if I make you flip to every single one of them, but the Proverbs are full of them. It's not only in Proverbs. But this says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Flip the page over, and it's chapter 17, verse 9, a very similar thought. In 17:9, it says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So it is destructive, but where does the destruction land? Well, it lands most definitely on the victim, the one who's the center of it. Now, you probably can come up with your own stories where gossip has dinged you or someone you've known. But let me tell you one that happened in a church that is a little bigger than our church, significantly so. But it is part of our GIRBC Fellowship. So it's a church like ours, a church that uses the same word of God and is careful about things. And do you know what happened in this church? There was this report that came out that one of the teen guys in the youth ministry was kissed by the youth pastor's wife. That took off through that church quickly, like through the youth group and the families and all that stuff. And then it jumped outside the church, and it was known in the community what was happening there. And of course, it was a big deal. It was a concern that this never be allowed. It's got to be addressed. And people were just shocked by such a thing. And eventually, the teen guy acknowledged that that never happened. He just made it up. He thought it would be fun to do something like that and see what happens. Do you know that that husband and wife team ceased serving in that church? They couldn't continue. Do you know why? Because the story was out in the community. The credibility of the church was at stake because people would not investigate what really happened. Nobody tells the corrected version like they do the wrong version. And that's what I mean about it being destructive. And if you think that that only happens someplace else, that is in a church very much like ours. So it's very, very hurtful. Can you imagine what was going on and the pressure of that husband and wife that were trying to sort out where did this come from? How? It's also very destructive to the listener. The listener is affected by it because just like the one person that is engaging in that tasty morsel, you've just given the same thing to someone else, and now they are drawn into it. They ingest the tasty morsel, and it influences them against whoever is being spoken about. Another instance, another church like ours in our fellowship of churches where gossip started. It was criticism that was harbored by just a couple of people at first, but then it spreads out, and then people start leaving the congregation, and they don't talk to the people that they think are at the head of this problem. They just skip over that. But what was the effect? Well, more and more people decided, hey, you know what? We should just pull out of here and go someplace where this kind of stuff isn't happening. It happens. And others were influenced who didn't necessarily start out that way, but they were influenced to think critically as well. You know, there's one more person that's tremendously impacted by gossip, and that is the speaker. Yeah, it is, because when you share that, it doesn't take people long at all to realize that your credibility is in question. There's no integrity there. It happens because things may get exaggerated, maybe twisted. Sometimes we portray somebody else's actions as sin that's greater than it really is, which should have been ever elevated to, and all of that. And we do that when we ascribe wrong motives based on what we think. We can't read a person's heart, but it sure is easy to draw conclusions that are faulty because, you know what, they don't act the same way that I do. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I get involved in these kind of activities. That person hasn't jumped in ever to help me with this thing. That person's not committed. They aren't serious about their walk with God. And there's something that's shared there, and so it's subtle, but it gets in. And the other thing we can do is pick out one thing, and we make a slanderous comment about an individual or a ministry, but you don't have the whole story, nor have you taken time to investigate whether the statement is true or not. If somebody else said it that you trusted, but you find out later it wasn't complete, you realize, well, my source, I thought, was, but we can do it without thinking. You know what is fascinating to me? When we study the Word, we teach people. When you read the Word, you put it in context. That's why you'll never see us do an animal sacrifice here. It's taught in the Bible. But the context of that instruction, Old Testament, we understand it in light of the New Testament about Jesus coming. And we teach that for Bible study and interpretation. You always pay attention to the context. But we will oftentimes take in somebody else's words, but don't put it in a context, nor do we investigate a context. And there's the problem. We'll start repeating something as though we have it. And it could be exaggerated, could be misrepresented, it could be an outright lie. And it's devastating to a church. The harmony, the unity that is there, and God does not like that kind of division in his church. When that division comes because there is error and there's separation, yeah, there has to be that. That's no doubt. But when there's this infighting, bickering by people that claim to follow the gospel, that claim to study the Word of God and live by that, but find themselves at odds over gossipy kinds of things, it does not make them happy. How can I say that so strongly? Because Jesus said it. Turn with me to John 17. Some of you are going to recognize right away, oh, that's where that section we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus is, where Jesus is talking to his Father in heaven. I'm going to not read the whole prayer, but if you're there, look at verse 20. It says, I do not ask for these only, these, by the way, is the disciples, those that were on his mind right there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Here's why. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's his goal. He wants others to be impressed by the unity that's there. And it continues, doesn't it? Verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Let that rest on you. The glory that the Father gave to the Son is now on them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Unity is important. The harmony is necessary. But that doesn't look like the rest of the world. That's right. You put this many people in a room and you aren't going to get along. Why is it possible in church? Because Jesus prayed for this, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, and you, Father, and me, that they may become perfectly one. Perfectly one. Complete unity. What is the purpose? So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Well, that's the Lord's goal for that. That's what our purpose is. So if it's this destructive, contrary to what God has given us to live by, what Jesus has prayed for as a hallmark of his body, the church, his followers, then we've got to do something about gossip. Can I just borrow Smokey the Bear? Why would I pick Smokey the Bear that says only you can prevent gossip? Well, it too comes from Proverbs. Proverbs 26, Verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. You see the comparison there? When people are gossiping, they're throwing stuff on, trying to get that fire to go. Keep it going. That's what happens. And when you don't have something going on to the fire, it goes away. Well, the same token, the whisper is, hey, did you hear what happened? Yeah, then the strife ceases, the quarreling, the infighting stops. So we've got the responsibility that we know we must extinguish it. Now, what are we going to do if we are on the speaking side? Because we can be caught in this, not because we get up early in the morning and say, you know, I want to commit 5 instances of gossiping today. That's my goal. None of us ever do that. How do we get drawn into it? Because of our flesh. But we got to be on guard. What do we do if we're the ones that are caught here? There has to be a moment where you're saying, yes, I've got to flag it in my own thinking. There's discipline that has to come in. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says this, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Keeps guards, that's what the word means. They got to have that kind of effort in there. And from a practical purpose or perspective, let's just cut out the lead-in phrases. When you start a conversation with certain phrases, pay attention. What are you doing? What are those? I've got some. You can come up with your own. Hey, just between you and me, that's one of them. Don't tell him, I told you, but tip off. Gossip is right there. Hey, what I'm about to tell you, I don't want to leave the room. You see what we're doing? We're already putting the fence around this. Like we're trying to get this information, but in a kind of a carefully dispersed way. You know, I want to tell you this in confidence. And by the way, there may be legitimate reasons to have that, and I'm not talking that you can never say anything, but leave the details out. Don't use the names and the circumstances. If you're looking for a biblical perspective on how to respond to people that are caught in a certain way, that's the body. Using one another, and you're stirring up one another to love and good works, but you don't need to spill all the information you might even have. It's not necessary. It's not helpful. So watch for this. You know, you and I really need to pray for so-and-so because recently it's come to my attention that so you've got to stop. Look for those things. And it's going to involve a couple of practical things. These two in blue are for when you are caught in the speaker's role. You got to speak to the right person, not the wrong person about it. What's the scripture say about this? Write down Proverbs 25, 9 and 10. Argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Or as New King James would say, and your reputation's ruined. Just talk to the person that you've got the problem with, not about that person to others. And then you speak only the right things. See, Ephesians 4:29 makes it so clear. There's no wiggle room there. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The right person, the right things. Can you do that? Proverbs 25, 9 and 10 is a good one to go back and review later. Now we're going to change the color on this. I don't want you to miss it, because these next couples, what happens if you're a listener? You get caught in this. You didn't ask to be part of it necessarily. Maybe you didn't run away. Maybe you heard something, but you're there. What do you have then? Redirect the conversation. That's the first one we'll talk about. In the moment is when you do that. Imagine this scenario coming up. Man, did you see how Max was dressed the other day? He looked totally ridiculous. I was actually embarrassed for him. And he didn't seem to even care. How do you redirect something like that? Hey, you know, I'm glad you brought up Max. He's one of my favorite guys to work with. The guy is just so kind, and he has a heart for people that's just huge. See, you aren't even talking about his dress. You talk about his heart, what he's doing, what Christ is doing in him. If you try that, I'll tell you what, the person who's bent on keeping the fire going, throwing something else, he'll try to throw another log on. But did you see him? Someone who looks that goofy, it makes people wonder if he even has a mirror at his house. Now, I'm picking a ridiculous scenario. I hope. But if that's, you come back again. Yeah, but Max is the guy who jumps in when he sees a need. He's an incredible encouragement to me and to others. You know, God uses him to touch other people. I find myself wanting to have more of that quality in my own life. So if you're in that setting with the group, you've gone on record as saying, I don't want to be a part of that. You're trying to divert the conversation. The guy who's speaking the gossip looks like the goofball, because you're taking the high road on that. And then you come back at another time for a private conversation. And when you do that, you have a conversation that is done with a spirit of gentleness and humility. You do it with gentleness and humility. When you're talking with another person about something this serious, you do it with gentleness and humility. Galatians 6:1 instructs us how to approach that. And you come in and you say, you know, the other day we were talking like this, and I don't know if you could tell, but I was uncomfortable with the way you were saying this, and I was trying to redirect it, but let me tell you what's happening. God's bringing this to my mind, and I've struggled in this area, and I've determined that I need to watch what I say and be part of that. So here's some verses that have helped me with that. You know, I don't know where you are in this, but that's why I think it's really wrong. You can inflict harm on somebody in the eyes of somebody else without there a need for that. You might not get them to turn the corner on that. And that's where you could try one more thing. The 24-hour rule, you can make it a 48-hour rule. But, you know, it seemed like you were really bugged by this. I think that's a... Have you talked to Max about this? No, he wouldn't care. Well, you know what? I didn't ask to be involved, but I know it bugs you a great deal, so you have to talk to him, and I'll give you 24 hours or 48 hours. And if you don't find a way to connect with him and talk about this, I'm going to step in and suggest to Max that he get together with you to talk through this. If you want a fire extinguisher for gossip, that's one. Who wants to go down that path too many times? But that is a way to redirect, and you come in with it, not because you're trying to just You know, what you did the other day was totally wrong. You just blasted him, and that's gossip. And you know what the Bible says about that? God is not happy with that. That's just flat-out sin. Your tongue is just flat-out wrong, sinful. That is true. But you are not approaching the person in a spirit of gentleness and humility. I hope you see the difference in that. You know, David put this in Scripture, Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What was it that Jesus said? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. David, it tells us, you know, Lord, I want my words and I want my heart to be acceptable. Those areas come into play. What is it that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 24? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Just have that perspective David had. There's so many more scriptures. As some in the New Testament, you know, Paul puts them in a list of evil stuff. Idolatry, adultery, fornication, gossiping. Wait a minute, it's in the same category? Yeah. You know, I don't have time. We could spend another message looking at all these verses. But I'll tell you why it was easy for me to talk about this one today. Because I don't have anything that's coming at me from this church family that says there's a problem like that. But I know it can be there. So if God's put his finger on something for you, please deal with it. But you've got to know. I have no clue. I've got no agenda. I've got no conversations. Not from any of you, not from any in the first service. I don't sense that. But that's why we come back and we look at the counsel of God this way, because it guides us. And we pray that our lives would be conformed into the image of his son. That's Romans 8:29. I'm just saying, I don't know what God's doing, but this has cropped up in churches just like us and many others across time. And I dare say that even possibly within our youth group, stuff like that happens. And before all of you who are not in a youth group start saying, yeah, I bet that's right, those teens, stop. And just think, what about our circles that we run in? That happens. Let's pray. Father, you are a gracious Lord. You have given us clear instruction. And the fact of the matter is, we feel so weak and frail many times. We'll have it right for a period of time and then fall back into something. I pray that you would have increased our sensitivity to this thing, this sin, this slanderous, sinful use of our tongue. And I pray that we would take steps to correct it from gaining a foothold in our lives. Protect our church from such things. And I pray that we would never waver from the mission you've given us and the word that guides us. But we will never do it without you. So, Spirit of God, convict us in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.